to Stripped. My name is Emma Francois, and I am joined here with my lovely co-host.
Hello, my name is Isabel Lord. I'm her lovely co-host.
So today we're going to be talking about three things. Ooh. First thing, tech and exclusivity in fashion. Mm-hmm. Second thing, men in fashion, particularly Vogue, the history of Vogue, and kind of like the changing way fashion is viewing genders, especially in the publication industry. And then finally, a fashion literacy test, which we think will be super interesting and super fun. And also, Isabel's making me be a guinea pig.
Yes.
So that'll be fun for her.
Yes, it will be. I'm going to test her fashion literacy because she's arguably more literate than I. But we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, now we have a great way to measure who's better.
Except I will not be tested for the public to hear because...
So you can decide if the person being tested
it's
or the person testing.
I'm more literate. Okay, continuing, moving swiftly forward. Actually, you know what? I'm going to start us off before I get to fashion and to tech in fashion. I have like a little fun fact kind of to go off of the my Kanye West like rampage that I've been going on, my rants about Kanye West that I've had for, I feel like, the past two Stripped episodes. But just a little tidbit, there's a professor who is professor down south who's teaching a course on mental illness with a focus on Kanye West as kind of an example of mental illness and what it means to be crazy. So we'll see what Kanye West tweets about that.
That's so interesting.
I know, right?
Your eyes are all lit up right now.
Thank you. I feel alive. It's electric in the air here at Stripped.
That's
always
so interesting that they're doing, like, craziness as mental illness.
The two words kind of align and disalign at the same time. Heather, what are you thinking?
I was thinking about personalities.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, crazy, like, personalities and, like, larger-than-life personalities.
Versus
and then, like, personas. Mm-hmm. Like, how much are we seeing the real person?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a thing
especially
about
for celebrities.
Fashion, too.
And fashion. Oh, my God. There's so many crazy people in fashion.
Isabel and I were watching the documentary called Through the Editor's Eye.
Yes.
And we were eating up all these classic Vogue designers.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, they all have these, like, insane ways of dressing, insane ways of speaking,
and insane ways of setting up the shot, too.
Yes.
Super. It's so absorbing just seeing how, like, controlling some of them are. And I'm like, this is what it takes. This must be what it takes.
You have to be so obsessed with yourself, which I just don't even think I could ever be so in love with myself.
I have no idea. We have no idea.
All right. So.
Okay, continuing past that tangent. Okay, back to tech and exclusivity.
Yeah.
So you may have heard that Adidas is printing the first 3D printed shoe, first 3D printed athletic shoe to be mass produced in the world ever, whatever. They're going to make 1,000 of these Futurecraft 4D, working with this company Futurecraft to 3D print these midsoles that will eventually be customizable.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
What's a midsole?
It's like part of the shoe, believe it or not.
Okay.
It's like,
so
it's like
I
the
see.
Middle. I think it's like the inside of the sole, like where
I
your
see.
Foot lands, but I could be wrong.
So
I've
when
been
you say
wrong.
Customizable, is that like to fit the
to
shape
fit
of your
foot?
Oh,
yeah.
First I was like, oh, I'll take one with dandelions
I want pink,
on
please.
It.
Can I get rhinestones at that?
So interesting.
I know, right? So yeah, it will be the first mass market running shoes. They've already released, first it was 300 pairs for family and friends, then 5,000 pairs for retail sale, which I cannot even begin to fathom how much those must have gone for.
Yeah.
And then by the end of 2018, they're shooting to print more than 100,000 pairs, excuse me.
That's insane.
And eventually scale it up to, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of shoes. Because at the moment, it takes 90 minutes to print one of these midsoles. But eventually, it's going to take 20 minutes just to print, to make a shoe. So I, like, this got me thinking, you know.
Did it really?
Let's think about, like, how, you know, the exclusivity of it, as I said in the title. You know, like, right now, they printed it 5,000. We have 5,000 of these shoes out in this huge, huge world. And, like, you know, those cost so much money, so who is, like, buying them? And then now it's going to be, like, anyone can have them, in theory. If you can print a shoe once every 20 minutes, you can just keep them coming, and they're no longer, I feel like, do you think they will be devalued? Do you think that everyone's going to be wearing a 3D printed shoe? Do you think they're still going to be, they're going to have this kind of, like, so, awe factor?
The Hermes scarf is purchased every 22 seconds. And it's, like, very expensive. It's, like, handmade. A ton of labor goes into it. And so even though they're being purchased at such a high rate and selling so many, it still is maintaining this level of kind of, like, allure and...
Right, but do you think the production, like, I wonder how many they produce of the Hermes scarves per year. I mean, I guess as many as they want. Unless they want a limited edition scarf.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it will be curious to see how the future, how fashion and 3D printing come into play. It's something that I feel like the second 3D printers hit the market, everyone was, you know, like, brainstorming what these things could be used for. And
how
fashion was at the forefront.
How 3D printers are going to save the world.
I know, right? Because I wonder how eco-friendly they are, too, and how durable these things will be. Will these fancy midsoles be, like, in the oceans of New Jersey or just trash? You know, or will we be holding on? Will I be like, oh, my God, I've had this for, like, 30 years and this sneakers held me through life. I got married in these sneakers. They also look kind of weird. I don't know if you've seen them.
I haven't.
I've got all my information from the Motley Fool, and they have, which is quite the name for a publication. The Verge also has it. And they look kind of, like, hairy. Like, kind of how you would imagine a 3D printed shoe to look.
Oh, okay. They don't look like plastic.
No.
Are they flexible?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be able to run in them.
Wow, my mind is...
Did you think I was really talking about, like, like those, like, jelly gladiator shoes?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was thinking, like...
No, these look like...
Almost like Cinderella slipper glass, like, clear.
Oh, beautiful.
That's what I was thinking. But plastic, and then also a tennis shoe. And also, I was like, this is gonna be ugly.
Yeah, no, these look almost like Yeezys, I would say.
Yeah. They almost look like they've been, like, crocheted.
Yeah. Right? They look super weird.
They're actually very artistic, but, like, odd.
Yeah, they would totally fit in today's market, too, with these whole, like, crocheted Nikes, these, like, very openly woven textured shoes.
So that'll be interesting. So we'll try to be, like, tracking that as we move.
track and field. Always. I'm on top of it. Yes. You are so funny.
So we'll try to track that as we move forward.
Yes. Okay.
So second item on the agenda is you titled it Men in Fashion, which that was really interesting how you interpreted when I first, like, told you what I want to talk about. Kind of like the slug line that you chose.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. Edward Enninful on Monday, April 10th,
2017.
Thank you. Forgot to date this. to timestamp it. Was announced as the new editor-in-chief of British Vogue. So he's one of only four current male editor-in-chiefs when there are 22 different editions of Vogue worldwide.
Yes.
Thailand, Korea, and Italy are all the other countries, so now along with Britain, that have male editor-in-chiefs. It's really interesting. So the former British editor-in-chief of Vogue, as well as the former Italian editor-in-chief of Vogue, were two of kind of, like, the pillars of, like, fashion editors. So amongst the fact that we're seeing this trend of increasing male editors and just, like, men in general in these high-up positions in fashion industries, but particularly fashion publications, is interesting. On the other hand, Edward is also a black man born in Ghana, raised in London, working in New York, and that's from the New York Times report. So yeah, he'll be the first male editor of British Vogue since its founding in 1916, and he'll be the first black editor of any edition of Vogue. So it's really exciting. Most people just seem to be excited about like what this means for
the future.
The future. And like the
Anna Wintour especially seemed thrilled.
Super positive. But it's really interesting because we're seeing like men and women modeling on runways together. Mm-hmm. So we're getting rid of this kind of like men's barrier. Shows and then women's shows.
Yeah.
We're seeing more blurred lines in clothing stores, like where there's men's sections and women's sections. Fewer clothing lines are being labeled as men and women's.
Mm-hmm.
And then the styles and cuts in general aren't catering to one gender or sex over the other.
As much, yeah.
And it's increasing the diversity in the kind of, like, pool of editors.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see kind of what happens.
How do you... Oh, did I cut you off? No. How do you feel about a man picking and choosing, telling you what to wear, in a sense? He's presenting. It's his... It comes... He is the last person to dictate what you will see on your magazine spread if you read British Vogue.
So I feel like... Fashion is one of those industries that's kind of, like, always been for women by women, except that there is kind of a discrepancy in how lots of the high-level positions and lots of the designer names are men.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that kind of combated.
Mm-hmm.
At
and
the
that
same
you want
time,
more, like, female designers?
Yeah. Like, okay. I want to see more, like... This industry that's so catered to women, it should be more inclusive of everyone, like, all levels of, like, economic, you know. So that's, like, one thing that I think. And then the other thing is that, like, most designers are white, most models are white.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing a push to, like, see more diversity, but I don't know if, as much as it's talked about, I don't know how much action is actually being implemented. So... I really value the, like, the different perspective that Edward in particular will bring, especially, like, he is an immigrant. So those are basically all of my kind of disparate thoughts about diversity and inclusivity. I don't know. And, like, Vogue, while it shouldn't be, like, a magazine for women, it does brand itself as a women's magazine.
Yeah.
And... but also, like, it's, like, you don't have to be female to have, like, compassion or empathy or an understanding for, like, women's issues.
Interesting.
So that's kind of, like, where I am. But what do you feel?
So in terms of Vogue specifically, yes, it is a women's magazine, and it does, you know, the clothing it features, the clothing it advertises, they're all... women's clothing, for the most part. I guess there are some male models in, like, the ads, but I do feel like Vogue as a magazine is more than that, though, and this comes off, this is, sounds kind of corny, but, like, you know, in this, in that documentary, in that, wow, in that documentary, Through the Editor's Eye, you know, one of the editors, or one of the staff was saying that, like, flipping through Vogue is, like, it's almost like a fairy tale. It's, it transports you to another place. And so if you look at Vogue not as a magazine selling or advertising women's clothing and a certain lifestyle, it's kind of like an escape almost for some people. I can imagine it's saying something socially. It's saying something in the fashion world.
Yeah.
It's dictating something that will probably affect the people around you, if not you directly. You know, I feel like I read an, like, a magazine, any magazine, doesn't even have to be Vogue, it could be, like, People magazine, and I, like, you know, I just feel like I do learn something, and that will affect the way that I look at the world. So maybe I'm giving Vogue, like, way too much credit here, but anyways, long story short, I feel like while Vogue is a women's magazine catered to women, I think that it can be looked at as something more than that and more of, like, a book and something along those lines.
I agree. The same way that, like, you can write a story, like, as a woman, I can write a story with, like, a male character, you know, that's, like, as complex.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Vogue is, like, authoring this, like, fairy tale, this, like,
yeah,
this alternative this, interpretation yeah. of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And putting it all out on the newsstands for us to absorb.
I like that.
Yay.
So we're excited. We'll be tracking that yeah. as well.
Congratulations, Edward.
We'll have all of our feelers out.
Oh, yes. All of them. Everywhere. And our eyes will be peeled. Okay. Moving forward.
So the literacy test.
Literacy test. Emma, so, what's the literacy test?
I'm so glad that you asked. This is something that I found out about a few months ago, and I was completely blown away by it. Did something move?
No.
I feel like there's moved. A ghost in here.
No, I'm looking for everywhere. A way to transcribe your answers.
Oh, okay. Well, while you do that. So Professor Karen Pine works in England, and she's a professor of psychology and fashion, so fashion psychology. She does a lot of work on kind of, like, the body and image and children development and behavior, but, like, her intersection of fashion psychology is fascinating. So she developed something called the Fashion Literacy Test. Basically, it's a list of, what's 25 plus 15? Think fast.
40.
40. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. That's oh, right. My God.
Okay.
Good for me.
List of 40 names. 25 of them are the names of real designers, and 15 of them are the names of fake designers. So basically, you go through, and the higher percentage you get correct, the larger, the higher. Wow. I don't know any math terms. Anyway.
This is what happens when you're an English major.
An English and art.
Talking to an English major, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, the more you get right, the higher literacy rate of fashion you have. But the interesting thing is that this test has been deemed, like, an official way to, like, gain literacy. So, like, jobs could use this test and then give you a number, and it can save time by you not then having to answer other questions or provide, like, other sources of proof, like maybe history in the workplace or something like that. So it's really odd, because obviously you could just study for this test.
Yeah, like any test.
But also it's kind of cool. It's taking fashion, like, super.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do it. We're going to figure out.
Oh, no. I'm going to.
Isla knows exactly
I'll tell
how
you,
we're going to do
it. I'll tell you what's going to get
it. I will say she has, like, a very thick black marker and a very an tiny piece of white paper.
And
I don't know what she's planning on doing.
And what's going to happen, people, is I'm going to run through these names V-fast. Emma's not going to be looking at them at the same time.
I'm looking at the list. I'm looking at the list without...
Okay, I'm watching your fingers, and I am watching your trackpad, okay? I'm watching that trackpad.
You're the one that likes.
Okay, and so I will transcribe. I will check every name that she says. Yeah, whatever. Semantics. Okay, let's just get started. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. Actually, no, I'm sweating.
I'm sweating, too, and I'm not even...
And I'm scared.
I know, you should be scared.
Because I
She's already taken it.
I took it...
Hint.
In, like, June, so, like, a year ago.
Yeah.
I think I got, like, very poor.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
But I have since found myself and reached emotional stability.
Yeah. Okay, so... I'm readying myself for a lifetime of testing people. Okay.
Okay.
This is a quick way of measuring a person's familiarity with the fashion world. The list below contains some of the top names in fashion. How many can you spot? Okay, Emma, are you ready?
I'm so
this
ready.
Is getting so fast. Ralph Lauren, yes or no? Patricia Keane.
No.
Paul Allen.
No.
Vivienne Westwood.
Yes.
Paul Smith.
Yes.
Roberto Mancini.
No.
Rick Owens.
Yes.
Sonia Rykiel.
Yes.
Stacey Marshwick.
No.
Nicole Fari.
No.
Stella McCartney.
Yes.
Theo Beckman.
Sounds like Beckham.
Does,
I'm gonna say
it?
No.
I'm watching it, but put your fingers, get your trackpad.
I'm not cheating.
You said no. Okay. John Galliano.
Yes.
Xandra Rhodes.
No.
No? You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
Wait,
sure
was that?
That
yes,
no.
You're sure. Okay.
I
Calvin Klein.
That
this is the top one.
Yes.
Diane Arbus.
No.
Dolce and Gabbana.
Yes.
Edouard Rudyard.
No.
Yoji.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for saving me. Martin Margiela. Martin
no.
Margiela, that's hilarious.
Okay, I know I'm doing poorly because...
Diane Armstrong.
If 15 are not and 25 are, then I should be saying yes more than I'm saying no.
Diane Armstrong.
Yes.
Zizi Procopio.
No.
Issy.
Yes. Miyake, I don't know.
Miyake. Alexander McQueen.
Yes.
Alessio Locatelli.
No.
Ali Capolino.
Yes.
Betty Jackson.
That's funny. That sounds like Betsy Johnson, so I'm going to say no.
Okay. Coco Chanel.
Yes.
Enrico Annoni.
No. Actually, yes.
Emilio Cavallini.
No. Yes. Sorry.
Which one?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Jean Morris. Jean Morris?
No.
Ben DeLisi.
No.
Giorgio Armani.
Yes.
Isaac Reyna.
No.
Jill Sander.
Yes.
Jonathan Meacham.
No.
Kathleen Bishop.
Yes.
Lorenzo Cuccetti.
Whenever they sound Italian, it's hard.
I know. He's Italian.
I'm like, that sounds like fashion.
It sounds super
fashion. I'm
going
to say no. I don't know.
Really? Marc Jacobs.
That was so condescending. You know what? You can sleep somewhere else tonight. Okay, Marc Jacobs is a yes.
Jacobs. I can sleep somewhere else than in my own bed.
Like, that doesn't even make sense.
I'm in the doghouse tonight. John Rocha.
Yes.
Okay. How'd you do?
Poorly. Okay. I know I did poorly.
You got.
I just want you to know that I know that I know that I did poorly.
Okay. Yes. We'll see. You know what? Don't sell yourself short. I support you.
Are you gonna
this isn't me just
right
trying
now,
to sleep in my
bed. That's
going to
take you 10 minutes.
I'm not. Okay, Ralph Lauren, right? Okay, so how do we want to do this?
Here, I'll go down
for?
And say them.
You picked out any names in bold, add them up. Okay, so yes, yes, yes. So far you're good. Yes, yes. Nicole Farhi is a
designer.
Mm. Oh, currently
Theo Beckman is not.
Matt. John Galliano, yes.
I'll
Alexandra
go through
Rhodes.
And say all the designers so people know.
Okay.
So we have Ralph Lauren, Vivienne Westwood, Paul Smith, Rick Owen, Sonia Raquel. That's how you say that, by the way, I think. Haha. Do you need some aloe vera for that?
You showed me.
Nicole Farhi, Stella McCartney, John Galliano, Sandra Rhodes, Calvin Klein, Dolce & Gabbana, Yoshi Yamamoto. Probably didn't say that right. Martin Margiela. I did not get that one. Issey Miyake, Alexander McQueen, Ali Capolino, Betty Jackson. Damn it. Coco Chanel, Emilio Cavallini, Ben DeLisi, Giorgio Armani, Isaac Reyna, Jill Sander, Marc Jacobs, John Rocha. I will say, though, I was trying to find the exact date of when this came out.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. I think it was pre-2012. I feel like the fashion industry has a pretty large, like, upturn rate. So I feel like this test should be something that they change every year.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm just bitter because I can tell that I did very poorly. She has to add them all up, and then she has to...
I have to do, like, math. I feel like this is
going to... Some
number
from another number.
We might have to
multiply
get
by
back
four.
To you. This will totally be cut. God, I hope.
I told you it would take
okay.
you 10 minutes.
No. Okay. So, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wrong. Okay, what if you picked out any names not in bold? Jesus Christ. I'm going to say the Lord's name in vain for this one. Any names not bold? What does that even mean? You know what? She got 10 wrong. out of 40, you got 9 wrong. That's pretty good.
No.
That's pretty good. Here, any names?
You picked out any negative.
Okay, so that's
names
okay.
Not in bold. Add so, these up. I don't think I picked any that were that weren't. That
yeah,
were
but,
designers that aren't designers. That's N. Are you on the third page?
No, no. You did pick ones that... What's the number that... What are they asking for?
Names not in bold. So did I pick any incorrectly? I don't think
incorrectly
so.
Incorrectly or correctly?
Sorry. Did I pick any names that aren't designers?
Yes.
Which ones? How many?
One, two, three...
You sure? So that's 3. And then sure? How many positives did I spot? And how many did I get correct?
Well, that doesn't make any
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
So 40 divided by 9, 40 minus 9, so you got 31 correct. She's adding them up right now because she 23 doesn't.
23 minus
what?
3, 20 times 4, 80%. 80%?
I don't trust your
math. Oh, that's excellent. Wow!
No! She 100% screwed up the math, is
no,
what I'm saying. Honestly, though,
N.
9 wrong is really good, so I believe you. Okay, everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Stripped, where we talked about men in fashion, specifically Edward and in full.
Yeah, okay, you're right. We did do that.
And
we took the literacy test.
We took the literacy test. We found out that Emma Francois
amazing.
Excelled for once in her life
brilliant.
In fashion literacy. And we talked about Tekken exclusivity and Kanye West. So thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter at GTownVoice at HalftimeGU. You can find this on GeorgetownVoice.com or on iTunes by subscribing to the Voice Podcast Network. And thank you to Ben Sound for our lovely tunes. I love them.
All right, we will see you next time.
Woo!